All right, this week it's Momo in Ireland, and it's Wednesday, so we got Michael Thompson hanging out with us today. And, Michael, you have told me consistently over the years that our third or fourth string Team USA players could still win the gold medal at the Olympics.
Yes.
You've been to a few of these Olympics, including the most recent one in Rio, where your son Clay won a gold medal. So I haven't talked to you since Saturday when USA lost to Nigeria. They were 30-point favorites, and then 2 days later, they lost again to Australia. Last night, they blew out Argentina, avoiding their first three-game losing streak since NBA players started playing in 1992. Do you still feel that this team, with Greg Popovich coaching and this roster, is going to win the gold medal?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Remember, the full team isn't there yet. Still three players still have to report. Holiday, Middleton, and Booker still have to report to Tokyo. They'll be there after the finals are done. The first games these guys lost, they're not into these preseason, these exhibition games. Obviously, they came out to prove a point yesterday against Argentina. But or the other day against Argentina, but you know, they're in Vegas lounging around and they got to play these exhibition games. Yeah, it doesn't look good to lose, but nobody really cares. So I think when they get serious, once they get to Tokyo, they'll take care of business and blow the competition away.
I don't think they're going to blow people out, Ramona. Do you?
Oh, I don't think they're going to blow people out. No, I think there will blow some teams out. But when it gets down to the really good teams like Australia, those are going to be tough games.
Michael, let's say I put you in charge of USA basketball. Would you retool the roster? It doesn't seem to me like it has enough size. The big men on the roster are Draymond Green, Bam Adebayo. I guess you could call Durant a big man. Mm-hmm. And then Kevin Love. Is that enough size?
Yeah, because you're talking about international basketball, you don't see any Vlade Divac's and young Arvydas Sabonis on these other teams.
Yeah, they got Jokic and Giannis are both out.
Yeah, they got big guys. But Giannis, Greece, I don't even think Greece even made the Olympics. I don't have to worry about those guys. Jokic will be there for – no, Serbia's out. They didn't make it. They didn't qualify.
Well, Jokic is out. He just said he's played too much basketball.
He's not going to be in Tokyo.
Correct.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, the centers that they're playing against, these aren't like legendary centers, so they're fine. What the U.S. has to adjust when they play these international games is the referees. The referees in these international competitions let a lot more physicality go. They don't fall for all this flopping when guys go to the basket, throw themselves in the defender, and they get a foul. They got to play through the fouls. You got to learn to play through contact when you play international basketball. And NBA players don't do that because, as you see with Chris Paul and all these other guys, you just come and just give them a little a brush, and they throw themselves to the floor like they've just been knocked out by Tyson Fury. It's frustrating, and our referees keep falling for it.
Well, it's true, and I think that the difference in refereeing, that's something, Michael, you pick up if you're playing with in the international game year to year to year, which is what it was about back in like 2008, 2012, even 2016. The USA basketball program required that if you want to be on the Olympics, you got to pay your dues. You got to show up for the World Championships. You got to show up for the camps in the off years, right, when there's no team.
Yep.
And now, in just this last cycle, between 2016 and 2020, which is really 21 now, they haven't done that. And so you have this team where when they went to the World Championships, it was basically the Boston Celtics. Now, all of a sudden, you got more guys who would be, the quote-unquote, our best players, but not all of them. But they all just got together like a week ago.
Yeah.
They haven't been playing in the program year in and year out. It used to be every year everybody shows up in Vegas if you want to have a chance to play in the Olympics.
Yeah, exactly. Get time to familiarize each other, even though these guys are great players. Get used to the system. And like I say, once they're motivated, they failed miserably in the last World Cup, and they finished seventh, didn't even medal.
Right.
But they just had some kind of a makeshift. Now it goes – I still think they just didn't play well. I don't know what the problem was. Maybe it's coaching. Maybe Popovich isn't as good as Krzyzewski. So we'll find out in Tokyo.
Michael, why do you think so many players said no? There's no Curry, no LeBron, no Clay, no I could give you a list of probably 10 or 11 guys that we would prefer to have than the guys who ended up saying yes.
Harden and Kyrie are hurt, so they were out. Obviously, LeBron is older. He doesn't need the Olympics anymore.
Right.
AD, of course, was hurt, so he's recovering from his injury.
Westbrook?
Westbrook's 32, maybe. And he's been to two already. He's got a couple of gold medals. So some guys have already been there, done that, and they make room now for the younger guys to go. So like the older guy, like Kevin Durant, is there, of course. He's been there This is working on his third gold medal. Draymond Green's got a couple of gold medals. Carmelo Anthony went to like four straight Olympics. So all the old guys decided enough is enough and let the young guys start to take over.
Because in the back of my head, I'm thinking if we don't send our best players, the rest of the world's going to catch up to
us. No, they won't. Spain is not what they once were when they had that legendary team of theirs 5, 6, 7 years ago with the Gasols and all those other legendary Spanish players in Europe, throughout Europe. They've gone way down. Argentina's not the same without Manu Ginobili and the crew that he played with. Serbia, they're decent, but they're not going to have Jokic. Australia's good because they got a bunch of seasoned guys, 6 or 7 guys who do play in the NBA. But if the U.S. is serious, still they're way head and shoulders above everybody else.
All right, let's talk about the finals. Tonight, game 4, Milwaukee. Michael, I think that Giannis, and this is the first time I've said this, Giannis in those last two games, he has 83 points in the last two games, reminds me of Shaq in the early 2000s when he would just camp out right in front of the rim and score whenever he wanted to. He was 13 for 13 in the restricted area in game 3. What is Phoenix doing defensively, or is Giannis just that good?
Well, what they have to do is, my boy DeAndre Ayton's got to stay out of foul trouble. You know,
right.
He's got to defend without fouling. So Monty Williams has to talk to him tonight about doing that, and don't pick up 2 or 3 quick fouls in the first half and affect the rest of your game. You only play like 24 minutes, so he's got to learn to play without fouling and play smart. And if he has to concede some layups in the first quarter, who cares? You got to stay on the floor, DeAndre. But you know, what shocks me so much, Momo, about what Giannis did, 40 and 10 in 2 straight games. What shocked me the most about that stat is, you mean to tell me that Wilt didn't do that, or Kareem in his prime, that he didn't give a 40 and 10 in back-to-back finals games? That this is the first time since, what, Hakeem Olajuwon and Shaq that was done? Wilt didn't do it? They got to be mistaken on that.
It's amazing. It's amazing that they probably didn't keep the same stats. That's what I'm
sure they could look it up. Yeah, they could look at points and rebounds.
Yeah,
I cannot imagine Wilt used to average 40 and 15 or 20 in the finals, didn't get 40 and 10 back-to-back. That shocks me.
I mean, look, I felt like this is such an interesting series in the way that the two big men have played. And by big men, I'm referring to Giannis, okay? Giannis and Ayton. Giannis has been a small ball center in this series.
Yeah.
Like, he normally plays kind of at the top of the key as a point guard, and then he gets downhill. But he's been very effective when they went with this small lineup where Drew Holiday's more of the point guard.
Yeah.
And Giannis plays down on the block. And nobody can stop that
guy. No, I mean, Cam Johnson, Jay Crowder, Torrey Craig. These guys are a joke when Giannis is within 8 feet of the back. He's so long and fast, and he can extend like he's got these extendo arms. What's that guy? Inspector Gadget arms.
Yeah.
And when he gets around the basket. So the only guy who could put up a wall, Stan Van Gundy would say, you know what kind of wall, is DeAndre Ayton. He's got to be on the floor for 44 minutes tonight. He's got to. I wish I had his number. I'd text him and say, man, what are you doing getting in foul trouble?
Well, you know, the other thing that's happened, guys, is that Giannis has stopped shooting outside shots, which, Michael, you've been telling him to do for 2 years.
Yeah, he cannot shoot. I guess he can work on it, but so far it hasn't improved, so
right,
get to the basket.
I think now it makes him more dangerous.
Yeah.
He's just putting his head down and playing downhill. What do you think happens tonight, Mike?
Boy, that's a great question, because if Phoenix loses tonight, then Ramona, we're looking at a 7-game series.
Yeah, I think so.
But if Phoenix wins tonight, they could go home and end it. I think even though Milwaukee had to win game 3, it's the same type of pressure today. They have to win this game, or else I don't see a LeBron-type comeback from down 1-3.
Ramona, do you think happens tonight?
There's a part of me that says Chris Paul is so close he can taste it, and he's not going to let this go. Like, this is your moment. If you're going to win the championship after 16 years in this league, after all the stuff that's happened to Chris Paul in his career, this is his moment. And I think you got to win this game 4. You don't want to go in 7, right? Now, if they lose this, it will be because Giannis had an unbelievable game, which he has been doing. And Giannis, to me, looks like he's on a mission right now, Mike. Like, he's been real close, too. Not as close as Chris Paul.
I mean, Giannis is going to do his thing, like you said. But I think for the key for Milwaukee, and will remain the key for Milwaukee, is their backcourt. Middleton and Holiday have got to score.
I agree with you.
They've got to compliment Giannis and Ramona and at least give them a combined 50 points out of their backcourt. Now, how you want to split it up, that's all. It could be 30 from Middleton, 20 from Holiday, whatever, 25 each. But they've got to compliment Giannis, because you know that Booker and Paul are going to have a comeback and have a strong game tonight.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. If the Phoenix backcourt completely dominates Middleton and Holiday, the series is over.
Yeah.
Middleton and Holiday have to at least put up a fight against Booker and Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Booker and Chris Paul, I don't think Booker's going to have two bad games in a row, do you?
I don't either. No, yeah. I think he's really good.
Yeah, so those guys have got to show up tonight. Ramona, you said something on the show yesterday, and I was thinking about it last night, and I still can't believe it's even on the table. So I wanted you to explain it.
Okay.
You think it's a possibility. I know you didn't say it would happen for sure. But do you think it's a possibility if Phoenix wins the title that Mike Budenholzer could be fired?
I wouldn't say what is his contract status? Do they have to give him a new one?
Yeah. I think he signed an extension, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean,
but even though that never matters. These guys are all
matter.
Owned by hedge funds. Yeah. I was surprised at, you know, this is the hump they've been
out.
Waiting
Let's
to get over.
If they lose this, there is the possibility of them getting a new head coach is out there. I wouldn't say it's likely. I just think it's not a sure thing that he's just back at it. Because I don't know if he gets credit for them being in the finals. I know that sounds terrible. He should get credit, but I don't know if it's if you know the circumstances that led them here necessarily means that you know that he would be back. Like I'd be surprised though. I think he's probably done enough to keep. Well,
Michael, has a coach ever been fired right after going to the finals?
Huh. What about Stan Van Gundy? Did he get no, he didn't take Miami
well,
to the
Phil,
finals.
Well, Phil, when the Lakers lost to
That's
the Pistons.
True.
Yeah, and of course, Phil, after Phil, the Bulls won their final championship, they basically fired him, told him he wasn't coming back.
Yeah, Phil, it happened to Phil twice.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, the reason why Milwaukee is in the finals only because Brooklyn got hurt. I mean, if Kyrie and Harden were healthy, they wouldn't even be.
I was going to ask you guys, is that more likely that the Bucks make it back or the Suns make it back? Because I think they both better take advantage. Well, the Suns. Think about this, though, Ramona. The Lakers are coming back healthy.
Yeah, Golden State's
right.
coming back.
Golden State is going to do something. By the way, Mike, do you think they draft those players or trade those picks?
Boy, listen, we've been hearing all this rumbling. I don't know where it's coming from, but why does Damian Lillard's name keep popping up? And if there's anything the Warriors can do to get Damian Lillard, I give him whatever. I give him half the billing if they want it.
Well,
can you imagine those three guys on the court together? Oh my goodness!
But wait a minute. Wouldn't the Blazers ask for Clay?
No, because nobody's going to trade for Clay because they want to make sure he's 100% healthy.
I think it would be more like James Wiseman.
Yeah, the two picks.
Wiggins, because his contract works.
Yeah. But, I mean, look, let me say this very simply with the Blazers. Dame has not asked for a trade. You don't trade Dame Lillard unless he asks for a trade.
You don't think he's saying something privately?
I think if he did, we'd know about it.
How would you know?
Wait, guys, they can't come back with the same core. I don't care what Neil O'Shea says. If they come back with the same roster.
Wait a minute. Different core.
Yeah. Ramona, if Lillard talks to O'Shea privately on a private line, how do you know that you're going to hear about it?
I mean, we read a lot. I'm not going to hear it.
How does that work, Ramona?
Okay.
I always wondered about that.
If I'm Damian Lillard,
and I'm talking to O'Shea, my GM, just me and him, I said, listen, Neil, you know, I had a good time here, but if you could trade me to Team X so I can go play at home, how does that get out?
Well, because then the agents get involved.
I don't know if you can tell me, but I always wonder.
Michael, because if that happens, then the agents get involved. And then the reporters like Ramona have relationships with the agents.
So what I would say, okay, let me give you an example of something that happened in the past, okay? So the Paul George trade to the Clippers. Right. This is a good one. There was a sort of you know, Kawhi and Paul were talking. Right.
Uh-huh.
And Kawhi was trying to recruit Paul to go with him to Los Angeles. But Paul needed to have the Thunder trade him to the Clippers. So very quietly, Paul George asked for a trade, but it was very quiet and it happened a couple of days before the trade actually happened. But it was done with the idea that if this leaks, if anyone gets wind that he has asked for a trade, it's off. We're not trading you.
Yeah.
So a lot of time now, something like that could happen with Dame. Sure. I mean, he could very quietly ask for a trade and with the condition, if anything leaks, we'll deny it and we won't trade you. But generally speaking, a star of that magnitude, the way it'll get out, Michael, is let's say teams call the Blazers, right? They call the Blazers and make an offer.
Yeah.
The Blazers would generally say, we're not listening to offers for Dame. Or they'll say, well, what's your offer? Well, you know, we're not listening to offers for him, but what's your offer? Okay, there's three answers. Or we're listening to offers and we're going to decide within the next week. Okay? Now, One of those teams, if they want to improve their leverage, it's all a leverage game. They will most likely leak that the Blazers are listening to offers, right? They would. That's how that would. I gotta change the names because I'm gonna get aggregated because this is not actually happening, but right. I'm just giving you a theoretical.
Just say Team A and Team B.
Team A, Team B. Okay, they would say, "Oh, they're listening to offers. We've made these offers," or they've said, "We're gonna get all your offers in by 7 days." Okay, mm-hmm. And as soon as that leaks, that kills the team that has the superstar player. That kills their leverage. Because once you know that they're available, once you know that that star has either requested a trade or the team is listening to offers for them, that kills the leverage. You see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So the way, and we'll go way back in history, okay? Remember when Dwight Howard was traded to the Lakers?
Yep, sure.
So Masai Ujiri was the general manager of the Nuggets at the time, the Denver Nuggets. And Rob Hennigan was the general manager in Orlando. Rob Hennigan's now in Oklahoma City. So they started, Orlando ran this whole thing. They constructed a four-team trade, and they called all four teams and said, here's the trade. But none of the four teams knew anyone else who was involved, and they only knew who they were giving up and who they would have to take back. They didn't know the entire scope of the trade. So Orlando, and the condition was, if any of this leaks anywhere, everything's off. Mm. Okay? So Orlando calls, they call the Lakers, they call the Nuggets, and they call the 76ers. So it's a four-team trade. And so the Lakers are told, okay, you're going to get Dwight Howard, but you got to give up Andrew Bynum and whatever else it was. I think it was like the pick swap or something, right?
Right.
There was a couple of picks. The Nuggets are told, you're gonna be involved. I'm trying to remember how the Nuggets were involved. Somebody else was.
Iguodala,
okay. You're going to give up Andre Iguodala, and you're going to get back whoever it was. I'm trying to remember all this stuff, okay?
Iguodala
from Philly. Yeah. Philly got Bynum. And okay. So Masai Ujiri, I remember him saying, like, at that point, they tried to piece together what the 14 deal was. They knew what they were giving up and what was going out, and they knew who called them. So they were like, okay, well, we know this is Dwight Howard, right? Because Orlando's calling us about Dwight Howard, even though we're not getting him. We're giving up whoever it was, Iguodala, and we're getting back whoever they got, okay? And they actually pieced it together relatively well, because you can just figure out how the salaries match and what other people may have been involved. But the whole condition was everybody has to say yes and nothing can leak.
Well, I remember the last time I remember a trade of that magnitude, Ramon, and nothing mm-hmm. leaked was when the Lakers got Pau Gasol. It just got announced. And everybody went, how the hell did that happen?
Yeah.
Well, you know,
most of the agents get told late, Mike. So you asked about the agents. It's really when the big trades, when they actually get pulled off, mm-hmm. the agents are pretty much the last ones who are told, because most agents, if their guy doesn't want to get traded, or if their guy doesn't want to go someplace, they can scuttle the deal by leaking it.
Boy, you know, this Portland Warrior thing, it seems to have legs, Ramona, because if Damian wants to leave, then the best place for him to be would probably think back in the Bay Area, back home, because he's very close to his family, right? Even though they're not mm-hmm. in Oakland anymore, but it's just across the Bay. And the Warriors seems to have the best package that they could send to Portland. Because Philip, Ben Simmons and Thybul, that's not enough for Lillard.
Nick can throw some picks in, too, I assume. But I don't know. I don't know that I would say that that's the best offer.
Really?
It depends on what
14-7, Wiggins and Weissman?
That's a lot.
How good did that team do? How good did that team do last year?
Well, I mean, if you're Portland, you're rebuilding anyway, right? You're not going to
14-7?
You're not going to get.
If 7 and 14 become 2, now we got something. But 7 and 14,
Wait a minute. Kawhi Leonard was picked number 14 or 15. Kyle Drexler was picked number 14.
I know. Booker was 13.
Kobe Bryant was 13.
Yeah. You can find good players, Momo.
You can. Neil,
I think Giannis was 14.
That's right. Yeah.
15. I think it was 15.
Well, yeah. So there's players out there.
There are, but I just think that there are teams that can offer. There's a lot more. Like if they realistically get to a place where they're going to field real offers for him, mm-hmm. I think there's going to be some really amazing offers. Like, don't you think the Knicks will get involved? Philly?
Oh, what do they got to offer? They got nothing to throw at. What do they got?
All right.
They got nothing.
We'll circle back to this at 3 o'clock. Coming up next, there's a story about a woman who said, you know, there's that big soccer tournament over the weekend where mm-hmm. England ended up losing
Euro 2020. That big soccer tournament. I love it.
A woman says her boyfriend left her in the hospital after she had surgery so he could go watch that game.
What?
Is that understandable, or is it just mean? We'll get into it. Mason's out of here. Ramona's here. Michael's here. 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, this week it's Momo in Ireland, and Michael Thompson's hanging out with us on a Wednesday. I have an ethical dilemma for the two of you. And I, like, Michael, what's the one sporting event you would never miss? Like, you're very big about big boxing matches,
yeah,
right?
A mega boxing fight.
Okay, so we'll do that. And Ramona, how about you? What's, like, the most important sporting event you would have to watch or you would feel like your life was incomplete?
Is this live or on TV?
On TV.
Super Bowl.
All right. So picture this. There was a couple. They live in England. Mm-hmm. And when England was going through this magical run in Euro 2020, they went for a couple of days to a getaway out of town. They were about 4 hours away. The girlfriend, and this guy's a gigantic England football fan, soccer fan. His girlfriend started to feel under the weather for what turned out to be an appendicitis, meaning she was forced to undergo surgery 4 hours away in a hospital. Mm. There was a small complication with the surgery, which meant she had to stay in the hospital until Wednesday. Although her boyfriend had already returned to work, he agreed to pick her up when she was free to go. But the timing was bad, because England was playing Denmark in the semifinals of Euro 2020. So she suggested to him, hey, I'll book a room near the hospital so you won't miss the game, but you got to come back and get me. He's 4 hours away because they're checking me out of the hospital. He said he'd already made plans to see the game at a friend's place. The woman said her boyfriend grew agitated while they waited for the hospital to release her. But after things took longer than expected, he sent her a message from the hospital parking lot that he had to leave or he would miss the game. She says, I begged him not to leave and reminded him I could book a hotel, but he left without me and luckily made it on time to see the start of the game. He said he'd come pick me up the next day instead. The hospital wouldn't let me stay another night or leave alone. So luckily one of my friends came to get me in the end, but she didn't get to the hospital until late. We got back to London around 2 a.m. Throughout the whole ordeal, she was trying to contact her boyfriend, but he wouldn't pick up. When they spoke the next day, he was mad at her. He said she was selfish for constantly ringing and texting him during the game and that she ruined the game for him and embarrassed him in front of his friends. He's mad that she brought so much drama and it was humiliating to him. She's wondering, she's not from England, so she doesn't really understand this. She's wondering if she was being unreasonable or if he is. What do you guys think? Michael, you first.
She needs to find herself a new man. That guy is an idiot and a jerk.
What is she in the hospital for again?
Appendicitis. She needed to get her appendix out.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's a freaking game.
I had that.
In this social media era, in this highly technological era that we're in, yeah, okay, so you didn't see the game and you heard the score, you can always watch it again. That'll be, if I missed the fight because Julie was in the hospital or for some emergency, I'd have to miss the fight and I'd have to be with her. And I'll just, even if I heard who won, even if my guy didn't win, I'm still going to go back and watch it. It's not like I'm going to miss it. So that guy's an idiot.
All right, Ramona, how about you? Would you be willing, if Nevin's calling you saying, hey, I need you to come pick me up. You're like, look, I got to work. I got to report on this game. This is important. I got to see it. I'm doing radio tomorrow. I got to talk about it. I got to watch the game. Would you have someone else pick Nevin up or would you just bite the bullet and go do it?
I'd go get him. Like the truth is I used to be like more fanatical about games and things I have to watch. But like ever since I had a kid, you can't control everything. Like I tried the other day, I just risked toddler tantrum. Like he was like, I was trying to watch Ohtani in the home run contest, or the home run derby, right?
And Daniel was like, having a moment.
Yeah, he was like, I don't want mommy to watch baseball. I don't want mommy to watch baseball. And I was like, we're watching Ohtani. And he was getting mad. Like, he was yelling and having a tantrum. And I was like, Daniel, you're just going to have to wait. Just going to have to wait. And then Ohtani went and, he lost to Juan Soto. And I was like, okay, I'll take you to the park now.
Lindsay, do you understand this guy's point at all? Or is he just a complete jerk?
I do. But then again, I don't have a significant other. So usually in these situations, I'm often thinking of myself and very selfish. And you know what? I'm allowed to be selfish because I don't have the responsibility of a kid. I don't have a significant other. And I've been like this about a few things. I remember I went on, I was in Mexico for game one of the NBA Finals in 2017. And I didn't miss anything or, me and my friend were, I had to watch the end of the game. And the end of the game ended very, very badly for the Cavs. Changed the course of history. Anyway, we were about 10 minutes late to dinner because I told her I needed to take a walk and blow off some steam because I was really, really upset about the game. And she could not believe it. And she was so mad at me that we were 10 minutes late to dinner over it and said that I was selfish and all this stuff. I was like, you don't understand. This is like my life.
Yeah,
it really is my life.
That's just dinner. We're talking about someone's in the hospital.
But if someone's in the hospital, they're not dying. I feel like you're fine. You're not dying. I got to go to the game.
What about this? I have a friend who shall remain nameless, even though you guys all know him.
Black or white?
What's that?
Black or white.
Oh, come on, man.
No clues. But my friend was dating a girl for over a year. It was pretty serious. They had made plans to go away for the weekend, and his school, his college, who he's very close to, made the NCAA Final Four. And he said, we've got to reschedule. I can't blow off my school being in the Final Four. As a matter of fact, I want to go to it. And she said, we can't reschedule. It's just a basketball thing. And he goes, it's not just a basketball thing. If you're not willing to reschedule, we're going to have problems. She said, I'm not. And they broke up.
Hmm.
Is he a jerk over that? Because clearly she was prioritizing their relationship over what was important to him. Did he do the right thing breaking up with her?
No, he's in the wrong. Unless it's a family member thing. Unless it's something to do with family. You don't
cancel.
No,
they were just going away for the weekend.
Yeah, you don't cancel.
By the way, Ramona, do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
Okay.
Is he a former basketball player?
What do you think in that
scenario? How tall is he?
Not telling you any of these things. I'll tell you during the break who it was.
Okay.
It's just a game.
Ramona, if you had plans to go away for the weekend for Nevin and something came, Stanford makes the College World Series, and you've got friends coaching the team, and all your girls from your college days are going to Oklahoma City, and you say to, he wouldn't have been your husband at the time, but you say to your boyfriend, hey, we got to reschedule. I got to go be with my girls. And he said, no, we can't reschedule. I've planned on this for a long time. Would you break up with him?
Yeah.
What? Wow. Man, you guys are crazy.
Relationship. Dude, if I'm in the hospital, I mean.
No, you're not in the hospital.
No, you're just going to a game.
You're just going to a game.
Going to a game?
Yeah, for the high the girlfriends.
Oh, okay. That's okay. No, I wouldn't. No, that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. I thought we were talking about in the hospital. I was like,
No. You're just that my friend had nothing. Yeah, there was no medical condition tied to my friend.
Fine. Yeah, that's fine.
He broke up with her because he thought she doesn't understand how important sports are to me.
That's kind of shallow.
I don't know. You know, the truth is, like, in my relation with Nev, like, that was part of, like, the draw. Like, I'll give you this is an early dating story. One of the first years we were dating, we were going out. We were going to go see a movie or something, dinner and a movie. And we start driving, and I go, I gotta be honest. Like, do you really want to see this movie? Because I'd rather stay home and watch a Tyson fight. And Nev was like, are you serious? And I was like, yeah, I mean, it's a Tyson fight. Let's go watch it. And he's like, oh, my God. I can't believe you're the woman for me. Like, Nevin, when I said that, he's like, I wanted to marry you right then.
All right.
Like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Let's forget this dinner and a movie. Let's go watch the Tyson fight.
Yeah.
He was like, I never thought I would meet someone like you.
that is a moment of clarity.
That's right.
That's cool. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, Radio Tinder coming up in about 20 minutes. Coming up next, how far would you go? What supplements would you be willing to take just to feel better? Somebody took one that I don't think I could ever cross this bridge. I'll run it by both of you next. Mason and Ireland.
Sha'Carri Richardson?
710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And today it's Momo in Ireland, and it's Wednesday, so Michael Thompson is here. And Michael will have his game coming up. His games are always excellent.
Yes.
Also, coming up next segment, Lindsay will get in here with a little radio Tinder.
By the way, Lindsay, is Lindsay there?
Yeah.
Of course I'm here.
I thought you were going to be in studio today. I bought you a Cleveland Indians authentic
You brought it.
Yeah.
Aw, thank you, Michael. Well, I was supposed to be, but... You know, we're still not allowed. The higher ups are you know, they keep pushing it back.
Why don't you guys join the real world and get back out to work?
Hey, I would love to.
Jeez.
Especially on a Wednesday when you're there, Michael.
So when are you gonna be here? When are you gonna make me drag this bag back in here?
Well, you could just
leave it on my desk.
Leave it with Jorge, and he'll put it on Lindsay's desk.
Yeah, in my office. But I should be there soon. Really? We'll all be back there soon.
Oh, he's giving me that look like, oh, I don't trust you, Jorge.
That's a pretty nice bag. Jorge will take this home.
Are you implying that Jorge would, like, steal it or something?
Oh, yeah, man. You can put his whole family in this bag. It's okay.
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness.
All right, Jorge, I'll trust you with it.
Yeah, okay, so... Do you guys ever watch, Ramona, do you ever watch any of those home improvement shows on HGTV, like Flip or Flop?
All the time.
Okay. So,
my favorite is House Hunters International, by the way.
Right. Okay. So, you know, Christina, who was married to Taryn and then got married again to some guy named Ant. She's really pretty.
My mom got me into that one, too, that show. Okay. What's that show? It's called, like, something.
Well, first
Christina.
She was on a show called Flip or Flop.
Yeah. And then now she has her own.
She was on a show called Christina on the Coast.
There it is.
And, yeah, she's blonde. She's really pretty.
Yeah.
Cassie, who works in Michael Ross' office, is one of her best friends.
Oh.
So, anyway, so she's pretty popular because she's got this TV show. She suffered from anxiety. You know, like certain people suffer from anxiety. So she says she cured it by smoking psychedelic toad venom.
Whoa.
It is a venom that can cause hallucinations. It is much stronger than normal psychedelics, 4 to 6 times more potent. I don't think I would even try it for fear of where it would take me. Lindsay, would you try this to get out? You've got some ailments going on. Why would you try it?
I want to try it, actually. And, like, I've been... researching this for, I don't know, maybe 2 years now.
Wow.
And a lot of it started when Mike Tyson was on Joe Rogan's podcast, and he talked about how when he did one of these, you know, he says, when I did the toad, that's what he's referring to, that he had these, like, crazy life-changing, they're life-changing experiences spiritually. They supposedly, it's like a death to your ego. And it's like, you know, it's like life-changing. A lot of it cures depression, anxiety, PTSD, things like that. And I've had a rough year mentally, and I feel like it's something that I'm, at this point, I'd be willing to try it 100% because I feel like a lot of people that I know that have tried it, it's had profound effects on them.
Michael, would you ever consider if you were sick trying toad venom?
No, I'm not into artificial stimulants like Lindsay and Mace. And
it's not an artificial stimulant. It's literally toad venom.
Like from frogs?
Yes, there is a specific type of toad that you can only find in, like, certain places and climates, and there's not very many of them, and you have to find
the world
these.
Did somebody discover this in the first place?
Yeah.
Like millions of years ago, this was like a ritual they did, you know, since the beginning of time.
No, Lindsay? I've never asked this before. Have you ever taken hallucinogenics before, any type?
I did one time.
Did it work?
It worked, but it didn't. It was more of like a, Just a weird experience when we were like at a party with people. It wasn't anything like this.
You ever try LSD?
No.
Michael, the way that she's describing this sounds like what like the Beatles and people describing LSD in the 60s.
I don't advocate for I don't do drugs.
Well, it's way more intense than that for sure.
When I went through my back stuff, right?
I forgot about that. You had a very painful back injury. Yeah. It took you a very long time. You're still actually dealing with it.
Yeah, 6 months. I do twice a week. I go to physical therapy. I don't have to take any more painkillers or anything like that. But at the worst of it, you know, there was a time when I, you know, they give you codeine, they give you Percocet, they give you all the normal opioid type things. And those, I noticed when I was going through that, I would take half and it would knock it out. Then you'd have to take a full one. Then you'd have to take like one and a half, or you'd have to take, sometimes you didn't get up to two, and they become less effective over time. And so I remember thinking, I was like, I don't like the way this is going. Like, I can tell, like, I'm not able to really, I have so much pain from this. It had a really massive herniated disc, right? And it was hitting the sciatic nerve, and I just had lots of pain. I couldn't sit, I couldn't do anything. You know, writing was horrible. If it wasn't COVID, I would have had to go on disability, right? Remember, I was hosting shows laying on the ground all the time, writing, laying on the ground.
Yeah.
So that level of pain, really a long period of time, but I could tell, I'm like, this is how people get addicted to pills, because they become less effective over time. And the more, and I was like, this is crazy. I'm taking two of these. And when I first started, I was taking half and it would be like, whoa, right? Like that's a lot of opioid that you're taking. And so I got to the point where I was like, you know what? Maybe Steve Mason can teach me a few things. I'm going to try something like micro dosing kind of stuff, right? It totally worked. I became a convert, but I'm going to say this with a caveat. I don't think that stuff is regulated. And there was inconsistency in the effect or the quality that you would get. So like, you know, one time you'd think, oh, if I do the same thing every time, it'll have the same effect. Nope. And sometimes it's not enough. Sometimes it's way too much. And when it's way too much, like that is not okay. Right. Like you're just like, I can't do that. And so I got off everything as soon as I possibly could. And I honestly don't want to do it again.
Lindsay, can you get hooked on
this
frog pee?
No, yeah. It's not something that you do regularly either. It's something that you do like maybe once in your life. And you're not supposed to do it alone. You're supposed to do it with like, you know, you're supposed to have somebody there with you to watch over you take care of you. Because in case you have like a weird reaction to it, a lot of people will have these, like they're physically, they'll have these experiences where they start, you know, like waving their hands around and like moving weirdly and having like erratic behavior. But in their brain, it is safe if you do it, you know, the way you're supposed to supervise. But in their brain, they're having a completely, it's all like a mind and spiritual thing.
All right. So, Lindsay, if you do this toad venom, you've got to report back to us and tell us whether or not it works.
I'm not against it. I just wish it was regulated more, to be honest. Like, I wish it was safer.
Yeah. This specific thing, it's like impossible to find the toad venom. But I have looked into, they're like, you know, in Oregon and in Denver and some other places, like hopefully California soon, they do have like regulated, like, psychedelics and psilocybin and things like that, where they have clinics where you can go and be supervised and the dosage is all regulated and stuff like that.
So how's it supposed to make you feel?
Like, it's supposed to help cure like anxiety, depression, PTSD, because it kind of like resets your brain. That's how it's like restarting a computer.
What's the difference between this and LSD? And other hallucinogens.
I think it's similar. They're all in the same family.
Yeah, they're very similar, but they vary by like degree of intensity and stuff like that.
So you would encourage 18-year-olds to do it?
No, I didn't say that. I just said me personally, in my experience and things that I've been going through in my life and other things I've tried, at this point, I would be willing to try it. I'm not encouraging anyone else to do it.
Yeah, and by the way, the thing that scares me is exactly what you said, Ramona. We don't know enough about it.
Dangerous.
Recommend it. Yeah. All right. Coming up next is Radio Tinder. Lindsay will get in here and throw some stuff at us. Michael's here. Momo's here. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right. We do this every day at this time. Lindsay gets a bunch of stuff she wants us to react to. It's Michael. It's Ramona. It's me. And now it's Radio Tinder. Lindsay, what do you got?
All right, guys. So as Michael briefly mentioned Shikari Richards earlier, She may have lost her opportunity.
Richardson.
She may have lost her opportunity to participate in the upcoming Olympics due to a failed drug test, but that's not stopping companies from still wanting to work with the 21-year-old athlete. Now, Dr. Dabber, which is a vaping company that specializes in marijuana, recently reached out to Shikari to see if she'd be interested in being a brand ambassador for a $250,000 paycheck. Many fans online have already voiced their concerns over her associations to a cannabis company, given her recent controversy, and they worry that this could potentially...
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Actually open up a door for stricter regulations. If you were her, would you take the gig for a quarter of a mil? Swipe left or swipe right?
What do you think, Mike?
I think it's a bad look. If you want to smoke marijuana on your private time behind closed doors, that's your business. But to be a current face of track and field for women's track, you know, maybe even for USA track, because she is the most, attractive and. Not just talking about look, but I'm talking about personality and, yep. and talent. This girl could be the next Flo Jo. She's that fast. She's that young, 21. She's not done with the Olympics by far. She's got the World Cup coming up, World Championship coming up next year. She'll only be 22. She'll be 24 when the next Olympic comes around in 28. To be basically, and I believe she was going to be or is going to be the face of track and field for United States. I don't think that's good look for to
I think
do that.
I think you're right. Think about Ramona, all the, you know, Michael mentioned FloJo. Think about all the endorsements she got and think about the companies that endorsed her. It's people like Wheaties
yep.
and Secret and, you know, like traditional American companies. I think if she takes a, what'd you call it, Lindsay? Dr. Dabber?
Yep. Dr. Dabber, Dapper. Yeah.
Okay. If she does, if she takes that endorsement, I think other endorsements might go away. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, it also just, it's branding. It's like, how do you want to be known, right? And right now we know, like, I'm with you, Michael. Like, I was so bummed when she was mm-hmm. disqualified because I thought, like, John, you were talking about who do you stop and watch? Like, you watch Ohtani. Whenever the game's on, you turn around and watch Ohtani. Now, Shikari doesn't run very long. I mean, her race is over in 9 seconds, okay?
Yeah, but guys like Michael find that and watch it.
Yeah. Oh, it's yeah. amazing. Like, when I knew she was going to be on, I made sure and find it. Yep. I watched her and Allison Felix, okay?
Yep.
NBC Sports Network, I watched Shikari Richardson, I watched Allison Felix. Those yep. are my. Now, who's the 800-meter runner, Michael?
A thing Mo. She is special.
Is it a thing or is it a thing?
A thing. Just like just how it sounds. A thing. Wow. A-T-H-I-N-G. A thing Mo. She is great.
No?
She's only 19, and she is
amazing.
Wise beyond her years. You listen to her talk. She's so classy and so intelligent.
Yeah. Was it Baylor or Texas A&M?
Texas A&M. She went to Texas A&M. And she quit. She quit after the NCAA track championships because she was so dominant. Nike signed her immediately.
Yep.
And she basically now, I think, is going to be the face of track and field for the United States and Tokyo.
So learn that name.
Yeah.
Hey, and we're sure it's a thing. That's kind of
a
cool,
thing.
Actually.
Mo,
Lindsay,
M-U.
If you were Richardson's agent, would you tell her to take that deal?
I don't know, because even though it's a bad look, you have to kind of think of, like, where is she going to be in 4 years from now? Is she is this going to be no big deal and it's going to be completely
well then she can revisit it then. I think right now mm-hmm. it would be Ramona says, it would be the one that defines her.
Even though she's missing the Olympics, Lindsay, she's going to be a star. She is great.
All right, what's next?
Okay, so this one is from our famous Am I the A-hole Reddit page. A dad took to the subreddit to ask users for advice after his wife criticized him for encouraging their daughter to go out running with him. The dad says that his 12-year-old daughter has always been very active, but since the start of the pandemic, she's swapped her bike rides and playing outside with her friends for watching TV and sitting in the house, which has caused her to gain a little weight.
Yeah.
He wrote, I created the father-daughter walk to get her moving a bit. We talk about the day, what's going on, things we would like to do, and so on for about 30 minutes. Slowly, I turned that walk into a jog and then a run. She struggled some at first, but now she can keep up with me. I love it since she's getting a little bit of a workout and I get to spend time with her. But apparently this man's wife has a serious problem with it. He wrote, "My wife confronted me saying I was fat shaming our daughter and forcing her to exercise. Aww. She says that I'm trying to push my lifestyle habits onto my daughter and that I'm embarrassed of her. While his daughter seems to enjoy it, he's wondering whether he's doing the right thing. Is the dad the a-hole?"
No.
Ramona, what do you think?
No, I'm fine with that. Like, look, he wasn't doing it in a mean way. He didn't say, like, "You're fat, get up, let's go for a walk." He did it in a nice way. Like, at some level, like, people who love you need to tell you the truth, and he's helping her live her best life. And, like, we need to stop putting shame attached to fat. We need to putting shame attached to being big. Like, as somebody who struggled with my weight for most of my years, like, so much of getting past that and getting back in shape is the shame, is, like, getting past that shame cycle. So, like, there's nothing wrong with your fat. If you're fat, like, it's okay. It happens. It happens to the best of us. Just what are you going to do about it now?
Yeah, Michael, I'm okay with a parent getting on their kid about getting in shape and losing weight and shaping up their body. I don't think this guy should feel ashamed.
No, not at all. He's doing the right thing. It's for a health, for a future. So there's nothing wrong with that. He's not, as long as he's not being abusive about with it, that's fine.
Lindsay, you got one more?
Yes, I do. A girls softball league in Florida made a call that left its players in tears. Now the story is gaining national attention after one mom posted about it on Facebook. The 5 to 7-year-old girls that spent their summer dedicated to the Babe Ruth All-Stars went undefeated all season and won the state championships. But unlike the boys' division champions, the girls did not take home personalized trophies. Instead, they were each presented with a black drawstring goodie bag, which contained a commemorative softball, a plastic luggage tag, and adult-sized batting gloves that they can't even use. So the girls were upset enough about not getting trophies, but even more so when they found out that their male counterparts, the boys' 5 to 7-year-old Babe Ruth All-Stars, were awarded with huge trophies. So the Florida Babe Ruth State Softball Commissioner, who is a very important man, he explained in part saying, quote, "Our intention was to provide the players with the recognition they deserve and a lasting keepsake of the tournament. Is this okay? Swipe left or swipe right?"
It's a bad look, but, I mean, what would you rather have, Ramona, the goodie bag or the trophy? It sounds like the goodie bag actually has some practical use. The trophy's just going to sit there.
The truth is, from growing up, I have so many trophies that they just, like, take up room in my garage.
Oh, listen to you bragging.
No, come on. Everybody plays.
I have so many trophies.
Yeah. Every year you play in, like, soccer, softball, whatever, it's like, you have 3 trophies a year, you know? It doesn't even mean that you're good.
Participation trophies?
Yeah. You got all these trophies, you know?
But wait a minute. Like, if you're like 5, 6 years old and you went undefeated and you won the championship and you didn't get a trophy, wouldn't you be kind of ticked?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So if the boys got one, the girls should have got one.
Yeah, they should have got one. They overthought that one. Trying too hard.
Give them both. Give them the trophy and the goodie bag.
Yeah.
Sounds like an oversight on their part. Yeah. Big time.
Yep. Well, but sexist. They were sexist, Lindsay.
The other thing I don't understand is, there's been enough of these stories where they treat the boys one way and a girl another way that they know eventually it's going to get exposed and they're going to get called out for it, and yet people keep doing it. I mean, it was like that weight room thing in the NCAA tournament this year where they gave the men a full weight room and they gave the women like 2 dumbbells. I mean, common sense would dictate that you would be equitable here, wouldn't you?
Yeah, so embarrassing.
I think they were thinking, Ramona, that maybe women's teams don't weight train as much as men. Do they think that's why they did that?
No. I think that they got a sponsorship for the men and they didn't get a sponsorship for the women. And then they just, told the women to just like it. I mean, it's the same thing in every women's sport.
Do women teams pump iron as much as the men's teams have to?
I'm
not in the locker room with the girls.
I don't know if it's as much. Like when I was at Stanford, we did weight training every day.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not every day. It was like 3-4 times a week.
Yeah. But it is required. It's like for the men. All right.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty, definitely for women's basketball. I mean, I just know how often we were in there. Even during season, we would get a lift in 2-3 times a week. And if you wanted to lift more, you could. So
what's the most? What's your bench press high, Ramona?
I can't even remember. It's been a million years. No, but I was really good at, the one I was good at, the pushing exercise, anything with my legs where I had to
leg
squat.
Press, the leg press.
Leg press, man, I was like the champ. Like every year, I was a champ in that.
And could then, could you bench the bar and 45 planks on each side? 135.
Yeah,
wow, that's more than Ireland.
I was really strong.
Wait a minute, Michael. That's my exact limit. Don't say it's more than me.
135 is your limit.
135 is my limit.
I can do that.
Limit. I did 135 today.
Whoa, Ireland.
You know what I couldn't do, Mike?
Michael puts three extra barbells on the end.
But he's also tall. Like anything where I had to pull down, because like. I have like Tyrannosaurus Rex out there. I got little arms, you know. I'm short. I got short legs. Just picture me like T Rex, you know, like running around like that. So like anything where I had to pull anything, I mean, I couldn't even reach.
Wow.
They'd be like, pull down, Ramona, and I was like, I'm trying. I can't. That was so sad. I'd have to like use my body weight to pull it down.
You put the seat all the way up to number one.
So embarrassing.
So what's your top bench? 135. What you do? 150.
I can't remember. Honestly, I really don't remember.
Wow.
I just remember we would do bench press, and I was like, I wasn't the champ. There was another girl on my team who was the champ at that. There's a girl. She was from Arizona, and she was our first base, but she was like amazing in the best bench press.
Wow.
But
what did she
I
do?
Was
like,
the champ.
Like 200.
It was literally 20 years ago.
Michael, not everyone is keeping stats like you are. You all in the weight room.
I bet you, Jorge, what's your bench press top? What's the most you ever benched?
165.
165?
Yeah.
Not bad. That's one rep or how many reps?
No, I did like six.
Six reps?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I could lift a lot, but like the leg press was where what's good? I can't even remember what it was. It was probably 300 something.
Yeah, that's
like
a lot. Good. Yeah.
So Michael, if I put a case of Heineken in each hand and lift it up, what does that count for?
Less than 50 pounds. So Ireland, when you did your 135, how many reps?
I do seven.
Seven
I
reps?
Get nervous. I try and make 10, but I never have a spotter.
You can't make 10 on a warm-up bar?
I never have a spotter.
Oh, Ireland.
So I'm always nervous that I'm going to be that guy that like gets the bar trapped on top of him. So I do four sets of seven.
You know when you're doing that, the women are giggling at you.
I know.
Look at that.
But I go
the one
so
that
Michael,
we used to use all the time was the one that was like you laid down on the bench, but it was like on each side there was you could put like – 25s or 35,
right.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
We would do that one. So sometimes you do the bar, but like I like that one with the individual ones.
Yeah.
Right. That's good too, because I think it's safer. Like if you drop the bar and you get, because we'd lift a failure. The rule was if you lift a failure. So until you get like when you get to 10, that means you're not at a failure. You need to put more weight on.
Yeah.
Right. Like so as soon as you can't get to 10, that's your weight.
Seven.
So, Michael, one time I was in a gym and I was doing the lat pull down. Thing where you set and pull it down
me
to
with
your
my
chest.
T-Rex arms. Can't do
and
it.
I put too much weight on it and it lifted me completely off the bench.
Now you're welcome to my life. Welcome to short arm lady life. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You know how many men are driving in a car right now shaking their head at you, Ireland. Seven reps at 135.
Well, and by the way, Michael, seven reps and I only do four of them, so I don't technically even get to 30.
Oh, you mean like four sets?
Yeah.
Yeah, so 28 reps.
Yeah, so I don't even get to 30. You would do that in like, but as your warm-up.
Yeah, I mean, that's most men warm up with 135 10 times. Turn in your man card.
No, well, Michael, it's worse than that. Some of the other things, like I mentioned that I do the lat pull-down thing.
Yeah.
I'm always afraid that I'm going to try more weight than I can actually pull off.
Uh-huh.
So when I work my way up, sometimes I start at a pretty low weight.
Right.
So I was on a leg press the other day, and there was a girl next to me on the leg press, and I did mine to start at 50 and looked over, and she was doing 80 at the exact same time I was doing 50.
Jeez.
And I went, I need to go to a different – so now I just go super early, and I'm the only one in the gym. I can do whatever.
Do you shower in the ladies' room too?
All right. Coming up next, the baseball All-Star game last night. I think some things happened in that game that they should take and keep. We'll ask Michael about that. He's got a baseball-playing son. And – the NBA Finals continue tonight, Game 4. We got them for you here on ESPN. Plus, Michael's game of games next hour. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.